Radio.
Having a tremendous Friday. It's going to be an amazing weekend. Nice to have you here. I am Jim Rome. I am live in Southern California, and we are in the Quicken Loan Studios. Quicken Loans apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Let me get right to this. I'm always fired up to talk to my next guest. If you're on hold, remain there. Phone calls after that. I've got one phone line open. And as you know, that telephone number is good in the U.S. It's good in Canada. Wherever you can hear us, 1-800-636-8686. First up, though, we start hour number two by talking college football. I'm joined by a reporter for Fox Sports and FS1. Also a national college football insider for The Athletic, a New York Times bestselling author. He is everywhere. He is busy. Bruce Feldman, back in the jungle. Bruce, great to have you back. How are you?
I'm doing great, Jim. Good to be on with you today.
It's good to have you on, Bruce, as always. Lots to cover. You know, it's kind of tough to draw conclusions, Bruce, from the first week of college football, but now that we're entering the third week, are you starting to get a sense of which teams are legit and which ones are not?
Yeah, look, I mean, I think a lot of it is kind of what we expected. Alabama and Clemson and Georgia look like they are amazing talents and just so much deeper than I think just have their starting 22, but really the depth of the rosters kind of shine through. The thing that I think we're going to find out is a couple things. So first of all, you know, I think Oklahoma and Kyler Murray has been a lot sharper than some of us thought they would be without Baker Mayfield. I think Lincoln Riley is a great coach, and I think Kyler Murray is looking like the guy we heard how great he was, and especially was in high school. Obviously, the competition is going to step up. But, this is a big one this weekend for Ohio State, who I would put in that, you know, Clemson-Alabama category of elite talent. Now, there's no Urban Meyer on the sideline this weekend against TCU, but Gary Patterson has a really well-coached team. They have a lot of athletes on both sides of the ball. This is a legit test, and I'm curious to see how Ryan Day, the interim head coach, is going to handle it. I think this is going to be this is one of the best games of the first month of the season, I think.
That's a great matchup. I love that one. Bruce Feldman joining us. So let me go back and talk about some of the teams that you mentioned, like Clemson. For instance, Clemson, Bruce, had a scare against Texas A&M last week. Is that just a tough game on the road, or is that a cause for legitimate concern for Clemson?
No, I think it's a really tough environment to play. Texas A&M has plenty of athletes. I think Jimbo Fisher's done a really nice job with Kellen Mond. There's a dual threat quarterback there. And quite honestly, you know, they're going to – at Texas A&M is probably about as talented a team as especially on the road, as tough as a game, as Clemson may see in the regular season. I mean, I just don't think the ACC, aside from Clemson, is very good this year. So, to me, they're so good on defense. But I think there are a little bit of concerns, you know, in the secondary that Jimbo Fisher was able to attack somewhat. And we'll see. I mean, Kelly Bryant, the quarterback, he responded well. He's the experienced guy. I think this is a legit playoff national title contender, and nothing I saw last week changes my opinion of that.
Bruce Feldman is my guest. You know, Bruce, speaking of the quarterbacks, what do you make of the way that Dabo Swinney is handling his quarterback situation versus how Nick Saban is handling his quarterback situation?
Jim, you know, I think because Nick Saban is the best college football coach we've ever seen, what he's been able to do in this era, it's hard to question his rationale and how he handles things. It's not always the most diplomatic. It's often not the most diplomatic, but it's hard to find fault with the results. Whereas Dabo Swinney, the vibe around his program, I don't know if I would say it's much more laid back, but it is. There's just a vibe of maybe it's way more upbeat. And I think you see that even in a case of his defense coordinator, Brent Venables, is highly sought after. Probably could have gotten a bunch of different head coaches, but he really likes his situation there. It's not like Dabo Swinney has one offensive coordinator. He has two guys share the role. It works. And I think you see that with his two quarterbacks now, whether it's Trevor Lawrence, who's the hot shot freshman, who everybody raves about, or Kelly Bryant, who's the guy who's been there and worked his way up and is really well-respected by his teammates for that. It all kind of fits well, and I think that stems from how Dabo Swinney manages it. And I just think, whether it's Dabo or Nick Saban, I just think it's vanilla and chocolate where, you know, it can be personal preferences, but you cannot argue with the end product because they both win at an extremely high level and they're able to keep things on track when other places will really struggle with complacency and those kinds of issues. And those guys in their own ways, because I think they're just authentic to who they are, they make it work.
Chocolate all day long. Bruce Feldman joining us. All right, so you had this amazing stat earlier this week, Bruce. Tua is 10 for 10 on third downs for 207 yards and four touchdowns. I mean, for any quarterback to have those kind of numbers would be unreal, but how do you explain a guy who's barely started a game having that much composure in third down situations?
I think he is just wired for that. Having been around him a little bit and talked to people who have been around him a lot, they just said he has this unflappable demeanor. And I remember being around him this summer when he was at this private quarterback camp. He was talking to a lot of top high school quarterbacks. And the question was really about, how did you handle this where you're the freshman, you're coming from Hawaii, and there's teammates who may be married and come from different places and have all this other investment and time, and they're older, and how do you connect with them? And it was like a multi-layered question. And Tua's perspective is, he naturally simplifies things. He's like, I don't really think about it like that. I only think about grew up playing the same game that I love. And it may have been in a different place. The weather may have been different, but it's still the same game. And I think just how he's wired is not to overcomplicate things, whereas that position as quarterback, whether you're Nick Saban's quarterback or your Cliff Kingsbury's quarterback or Urban Meyer's quarterback, it's a complicated deal, whether it's in college or not, just because you're dealing with, you know, inexperienced guys and all kinds of different systems. And he does not – he just, like, kind of is always seems to be at a tempo that is comfortable for him. And he's really talented. He's got a great arm, and he's really got good feet. But I just think it's that kind of poise and presence that makes him really rare, and that's why I think – you know, he's going to be a star, not just in college, but beyond that.
Bruce Feldman joins us. Now, Bruce, this weekend you're going to work Houston, Texas Tech, which means you get a chance to see Ed Oliver up close. I had Major Applewhite on the program earlier this week, and we were talking about what makes Ed so special. In your mind, what makes him so different, so unique?
Two things. You just never see such a high-level athlete who plays as hard on the D-line as he does. Because when you talk to coaches who've played him, they said it's the run stuff down from the backside, the effort plays. You know, one of the coaches I talked to said, we had a play blocked perfectly. It should have gone for 40 yards. And you're like, Ed Oliver runs it down on the other C-gap, and it becomes a four-yard gain. You're like, that shouldn't happen. That's not supposed to happen. And he makes that play. He's just got an incredibly high motor. He's super explosive athlete. What I think is also unique about him is when we talk about other great D linemen, and this year is as probably the best crop of D linemen as we've seen in college football. Clemson's got a bunch, Ohio State's got a bunch, but Mississippi State's got a bunch. With Houston, all eyes are on Ed Oliver. He's the guy. If you're in a triple team anybody, it's him, and he still finds a way to be ultra productive, and I think that's a credit to him. And you know, I can't wait to watch him from field level this weekend because, everybody's always gunning for him, and he still delivers.
Guy's amazing. Bruce Feldman joining us. All right, so another big game in the state of Texas this weekend is USC going to Austin to deal with the Longhorns. Bruce, USC is coming off a tough loss to Stanford last week. They scored just 3 points. How much of that was about Stanford being that good, and then how much of that was about JT Daniels making his first road start?
Look, Stanford has a really good secondary. I was impressed by them. That was our game for Fox last week. The issue I thought that surprised me was Stanford. No, I think coming into the year, most people would have assumed and thought that Stanford's D-line was its biggest question mark. They lost Harrison Phillips, who was a really good player. The year before that, Solomon Thomas was the best D-lineman out west. And there was questions there. And yet, that Stanford defensive front just harassed JT Daniels and shut down the run. I thought USC's offensive line has been a huge disappointment so far, and that's been a problem for USC for now much of a decade. And I don't know how Clay Helton really gets that fixed because JT Daniels is talented. He's impressive when you watch him play. They got really good skill guys, both at receiver and running back. But if they can't block, it's going to make, Sam Darnold was a little bigger, and he was so creative and extending plays and making things happen. Yeah, he might have some more turnovers than anybody would like, but I think he covered up a lot of flaws that right now with a true freshman, I think that just puts that much pressure on JT Daniels, and somehow this offensive line has got to get a lot better because it's just putting too much on a true freshman to be thrown into the middle of it. And I'm not saying they're forcing him to have to have to play Superman. But what Sam Darnold did, that's Sam Darnold, people forget, had a year to get acclimated. JT Daniels is jumping right into the deep end of the pool. And that's tall order for any true freshman.
We've got a couple of more moments with Bruce Feldman. And, Bruce, obviously patience is not a strong suit of the Trojan fans. We know this. And then you've got Texas. They're 1-1 after that season-opening loss to Maryland. Then they bounce back. They beat Tulsa last weekend. How do the Longhorns look to you in year two of Tom Herman?
They look shaky. I mean, we had them week one against Maryland. They were really inconsistent. Talking to Tom Herman coming off the field at the end of the first half, he was like, we're in our own heads, we're trying to be too perfect. So he went to up tempo to try to get them to settle down, and I think you see that right now. It's a team a little bit like USC, which I think is struggling with its own identity. I think there's some good players there. If I was a Texas fan, I might be frustrated, but it's only year two, and it's only the beginning of year two for Tom Herman. You know, he showed at Houston, he knows what he's doing. I just think that right now you have a lot of one step forward, one step back from this team. And they have, you know, the best leader, Sam Ehlinger, who's a second year sophomore. And I think sometimes Sam's not going to look great when he's doing it. He missed some throws, he missed some reads. And I think because of that, you have a team that is very inconsistent. And I don't think they have, you know, they have good receivers. The running backs are okay, but it's not like they're playing with right now with anything like what Alabama or Clemson or those guys have. They have good talent. They don't have great talent. And I think, so that adds to it. Their margin for error is not what most people would assume it is. And I think, you know, they got to build confidence. And I think this didn't kind of fall apart overnight, and I don't think Tom Herman is going to get it fixed overnight either.
It's going to be interesting. Bruce, one last thought. When you were running down your picks for the week, you gave some love to North Texas, and I had Seth Luttrell on the program this week. Man, I'm so impressed with what he's done with the Mean Green. What would a win at Arkansas mean for him and for that program?
I think he's one of the hottest names in coaching. I mean, it did not take him long. Even before they started winning last year, you would hear a buzz about how the presence he has and a command. He's an air raid guy under Mike Leach, but his personality is very different. He's an old school Oklahoma fullback at heart. I think he's going to have there may not be as good a jobs out there like there were last year when there's five Pac-12 and five SEC jobs open. But I think Seth Luttrell can be pretty choosy because he knows he's got a good thing in North Texas, and he's going to keep building. His little quarterback's a heck of a player, and he's going to have him for at least another year or two. So I think he can be choosy. I don't think he needs to jump at just a better job. That would be a heck of a win if they can beat an SEC team, and I think they're going to do it. I really was surprised the spread was as big as it was for Arkansas, given how good that quarterback is and what Seth's done at that program in a short period of time.
He's a reporter for Fox Sports and FS1, a national college football insider for The Athletic, a New York Times bestselling author, and obviously locked in. Bruce Feldman, my guest. Bruce, great job. Really nice to have you back. Bruce, have a great weekend.
My pleasure. Thank you, Jim.
That was fun, Bruce. Nice job. Really well done, as always. All right, Bruce Feldman covering a lot of ground talking college football. We're open right now. All right, so once again, top of hour number three, Shane Bieber. Right after that, Kyle Brandt. Then the last segment, which is always jammed up. So you want to call 1-800-636-8686. We talked about last night's matchup. We talked about Jalen Ramsey. Still ahead, Tampa Bay and Philly. Why are the Bucs getting so much love in Vegas going up against the defending world champs? Because of Fitzmagic. Michael Kendricks, I really want to hit this story next. This is really bizarre to me. Like, you can get away with violent crime and miss a few games, but white-collar crime is going to get you kicked off a team immediately, but then picked up by another team. But you could be looking at a long jail sentence. So what's that all about? Really weird story. I want to try and double back to Sean McVay. This guy's not a man. He's a machine. I meant to get to it yesterday. Wild card chases, Major League Baseball, lots of karma out there. If you want to talk about the fight this weekend in Vegas, not getting a lot of run, Canelo and Triple G. How do you think that's going to go? Of course, not getting the run that it would have gotten had Canelo not gone Canelo. But we could talk about the fight too. Lots to get to. Hawk has settled down, even though his predecessor's coming in. He's not freaking out anymore. All right, open phones next. Summer's almost over, but that's not the case for the unbearably hot weather. Think about how much time we spend in the sun over the summer. We also spend a ton of time in our cars during the summer months. Now, you know the heat can just suck the life right out of you, right? Imagine then what it's doing to your car. summer heat can be draining on your vehicle's battery, even more so than the harsh winter months. Heat, more than the cold, can shorten your battery's life. Rising temps can cause battery fluids to evaporate, which then leads to corrosion on cable clamps and terminals. You want to have your car at its peak. So stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts right now. Have your battery tested for free. For free. If it does need replacing, the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts will help you find the exact superstar battery that fits either your car or your truck, and you'll get it at a guaranteed low price. To find a store near you, simply go to O'ReillyAuto.com. It's so easy. O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
You know I'm all about the gig. You know I'm all about preparing for the gig. Love my job. And I love it when you step up on that rare occasion and make the show better. But no matter what, I prepare for it. I can't assume that you're going to carry this thing, so I prepare for it. Part of my prep is getting a good night of rest. And I'm able to do so every single night because nobody in my home snores. Not me, not my wife, not my kids. It is a snore-free home. Quality sleep is critical to my success. Snoring is not sleeping. So if you or anybody you know does snore, get a Zepa. Z-Y-P-P-A-H. Go to Z-Y-P-P-A-H.com. Zepa is actually happy Z spelled backwards. See, I wake up every single day early in the morning. I can't imagine, though, what it would be like if my sleep were disturbed every night by somebody snoring. You may not realize this, but if you snore, you're not sleeping. And not only are you not sleeping, those around you are not sleeping either, so you're all miserable. Snoring isn't sleeping, so if you want a great night of sleep, get a Zepa. Once again, Z-Y-P-P-A-H. It's happy Z spelled backwards. Go to Z-Y-P-P-A-H.com. Make sure you and everybody you know has happy Z's. Put an end to the snoring. Get a great night of sleep with Zepa. Go to Zepa.com. All right, quickly. Dear Jim, I don't see why you have to read a book about the topic or the subject that you cover on your show. Sincerely, Roy F. Roy Firestone. That goes way back to an interview that he did with Bobby Knight after Bobby Knight choked Neil Reed. Repositioned Neil Reed. Remember when Bob Knight, quote, repositioned Neil Reed on the floor? Of course, he repositioned Neil Reed by choking him. He repositioned him by grabbing his trachea. You remember that? That was one of those topics back in the day. That if you ever wanted to go lazy, put your feet up, not do some prep, go hot take with it, just go Bob Knight. Bob Knight, reaction. The story behind that was Roy Firestone, who was an excellent interviewer, sat down to interview Bob Knight and told Bob Knight before that interview, hey, you know, I haven't even seen that tape. So Knight goes, oh, okay. Anyway, yeah, let's do this. And so when it comes up in the interview, Knight says, hey, by the way, did you even see that? You told me you hadn't seen it. And then Knight turned him inside out. That's what this guy's talking about. Mark Peterson. Rome, comparing Rick in Buffalo to Jade Ramsey is almost as bad as comparing KB to Hawk. Different leagues, bro. Damasio and Albuquerque. I'll accept that. That's fair. I mean, I wasn't really comparing Rick in Buffalo to Jade Ramsey per se. I was just saying I haven't seen a guy go at his own family since Rick and Buffalo came in the smack off and did the same thing. Actually, Damasio, I stand by it. He called his dad a fat ass and a D-bag.
Fat ass.
And a D-bag. Rome, can the Bills sign Jalen Ramsey's grandma to their secondary? Austin in Tampa. Dear Jalen Ramsey, we like your style. We blast our family members too. Regards, Eric and Lyle. Wass. Seriously, Wass in Scottsdale? Hey, Wass, I understand that I've not read your emails in a long time, and now you'll understand why. We blast our family members. Hey, Wass, what do I look like here? I'm a celebrated talk show host. I've been in this game nearly three decades. my name has been submitted for the National Radio Hall of Fame. I'm pretty freaking good at this, Wass. I don't do things like talk about Eric and Lyle Menendez, quote, blasting family members. I don't know, Wass. I'm just funny like that. I'm funny in that I don't think it's funny that a couple of kids shotgunned their parents and then went on a shopping spree and went out and started to buy nice clothing, nice watches, and Porsches. I don't know, Wass. I'm just funny like that. I don't see any humor in kids killing their parents. And neither should you, idiot. You want to be a part of this show? Stop emailing it. Just listen to it. Hey, Rome. Warhawk replacing the Rockies lid with a trash can lid to rep his new BFF IRA. Regards, Geoff and Lincoln. I'll allow that. I will allow that. Warhawk and IRA splitting a plate of spaghetti over a wooden crate in an alley. Hawk and IRA, BFFs.
Me and Adam are even tighter.
Yeah, I know. Got to go to the phones. And I've got Shane Bieber coming up top of the hour, so I'm going to continue Big West Week here in the jungle. We had Joe Kelly yesterday, who went to UC Riverside, had a connection to UC Santa Barbara baseball coach Andrew Checkitz. Shane Bieber played for the Gauchos and is just killing it with the Indians right now. He's at the top of the hour. Let's go to Orange County. Mike in Orange County. Great to have you, Mike. Good morning. How are you?
Jim, this is an incredible honor. I have tried to get through to you for years. I started listening back in the extra days with Lee Hacksaw Hamilton. I'm a UCSB alum like yourself.
Great. Love it.
Hey, let me tell you something real quick about UCSB. I'm going to give you a quick story. Okay, I went there my freshman year in 1979, 1980, right? The Lakers' first title year. I'll never forget living in the Santa Cruz dorm. I'm not sure where you stayed. And those NoCal guys would always try to ruin the score because you're trying to watch the Laker game, but it's on tape delay, especially at that time. Remember, the NBA Finals was on tape delay. And they come up to go, hey, man, did you find out the score? The Lakers lost tonight. And there'd be a huge, like, blowout between the SoCal guys and the NoCal guys back in the day because the NoCal guys, they hated the Lakers, but they had Joe Montana. What are you going to do? They had those guys, but I don't know if you experienced that. And by the way, I saw Jack Del Rio at a baseball game once when SC played the Gauchos. People were just getting all over Jack. They kept chanting, football, football. And Jack went on to the next career. Romy, such a pleasure.
Mike, my man, I appreciate it. Let me respond to this. So a lot of you are going to rush in to kill that guy and say a great story, Rome. Great UC Santa Barbara story, Rome. I know exactly where that guy's coming from. I got that. I feel you, Mike. I know exactly what you're saying. Nobody else does, but I do. As somebody who went to that school, I know exactly where you're coming from. To answer your question, I stayed in Francisco Torres. I was FT my freshman year, 2 North. And yes, I had the similar thing. I love what he said about the NBA Finals. It's pretty amazing. Can you imagine? They used to put the finals on tape delay. A lot of you, especially the XR4TI who work for me, you're way too young to remember this. Literally, the NBA Finals would air at 11:30 at night in tape delay. The NBA Finals on tape delay. That's how jacked up the association was prior to Mike. Tape delay. Yeah, of course, NoCal was coming for SoCal. Man, they hate our guts. Everybody hates LA. I've covered this so many times. Everybody hates LA. Everybody. It's not just Boston. It's not just New York. It's not Philadelphia. In fact, this entire state hates LA. San Francisco hates LA. San Diego hates LA. Orange County hates LA. Everybody hates LA. I know this because I'm an LA native. We're used to it. But I've been around the country and I've hosted a national talk show for a number of years. I would argue that nobody hates LA as much as the Bay Area hates LA. They hate our guts. And I thought that I knew that. Growing up in LA, I knew the obvious rivalries between the Giants and the Dodgers. I knew they didn't like us, but I didn't know how bad it was until I went to Santa Barbara. Santa Barbara's about an hour 15 minutes north of Los Angeles. If you're in San Francisco, you got to work like hell to get down to Santa Barbara. L.A. is much closer to Santa Barbara than San Francisco, but they hate our guts, but they all came down here to go to school. It wasn't until I got there, and this is what that guy was trying to point out. He didn't make a real good argument when he said they would tell us the outcome of the games before we knew them. They hated us. No, I mean, like, they want to go. They see somebody from L.A., it's a reason to go. They hate our guts. And as always, L.A. just doesn't give a damn. We just don't care. San Francisco, San Diego, Boston, New York, you're all the same to us. Philadelphia. You all hate our guts, and we just don't give a damn. And I say we. I mean, I'm not Metro L anymore, L.A. anymore. I grew up in L.A. I moved to the Valley, but I know how this works. Bay Area hates our guts. And why? Why? Because we take their water. I get that. Because we have traffic. What do you care about that? Because we have bad air quality. What do you care about that? It's a way of life, man. You hate us. You hate us because you're haters. That's why. And I don't know why you care about L.A. Have you ever been to San Francisco? It's like one of the greatest cities ever. It's an amazing place. Why do you care about L.A.? We're not here. We're not there. It doesn't matter to you. They got nothing better to do, and we take their water. All right, so that's a gaucho sharing his experience. I get it. I understand it. You have your telephone number. Here comes the flight deck. If you're watching on TV, dude, how were you able to get through that door? Hey-o! What's up, flight deck? James freaking Kelly if you need him. He's so good.
Omaha!
I tried to cover this guy because he's a gaucho. I've got another gaucho coming up at the top of the hour, Shane Bieber. He's a gaucho who made it to the major leagues. That guy who just called, I don't know what he amounted to, but as expected, the clones are not having it. At Mike D for three tweets. Thanks for the relatable story on national radio, Mike. Hey, Mike, you and I are both gauchos, but he's got a point. Like I said, nobody could relate to that story except me and some of the other gauchos who are listening.
I'm going to give you a quick story, okay?
Thanks for the relatable story on national radio, Mike. You know, when an athlete says, hey, I got a quick story for you, it's great. Because anytime an athlete tells a story, it's great. It's fun. And it's an athlete story. But when a caller that nobody knows, myself included, says, I got a quick story for you, and it's that story, then it's not great. Oh, I mean, Mike, hey, Mike, you're my bro. We're both gauchos. I will always, always cover the gauchos. But, bro, that'd be like you coming in here and saying, hey, Rome, I got this amazing story, you know, in front of 200-plus radio stations nationwide. Hey, Rome, let me tell you about this. I lived at Tropicana or San Miguel, wherever you lived. Dude, you will not believe this, Rome, and I'm sure your listeners will really love this, too. You're going to find this really interesting. Once I went to a keg party. I got blasted. Somebody stole my bike, Rome. Drop the mic. Yeah, meanwhile, the other 8 million people listening are like, yeah, bro, great story. Great story. Nobody gives a damn except you and Rome. Jared in DSM tweets, hey, Rome, one time my freshman year, we snuck beers into our dorm room. Can you believe that? Yours, Mike.
I'm going to give you a quick story, okay?
Damn, Mike. I'm doing the best I can to cover you, bro, but there's only so much I can do. Hate to say it, Mike. They're right. I know, though, dude. You're a gaucho. A gaucho talking to a gaucho, and you want to tell me a story. Now, if you and I saw each other, like, at Javier's or something, and you told me that story, I'd be like, bro, that's amazing. That's awesome. But if you come and you tell the same story in front of 8 million people listening and watching on TV, it's not going to be as relatable. At Hitman Canadian, hey, Mike. That call got a little long. Signed, War and Peace. Hey, Mike, Broham, I'm going to try and make it go away, but I can't promise I can. They're coming in fast. I don't know. What can I say? The guy loves me. He's been trying to get through for years. He's a gaucho. We've got connection. The gauchos are proud of each other. I get it, Mike. I do. Hey, Mike, I get it, but nobody else does. That's the problem. But I get it. Let's see. Mike Young. Another Cho in the jungle. I see ya. Michael Young. See, that's different. All right, if Michael Young's got your back, it might be all right. Look at Michael Young. Love Michael Young. MLB or Michael Young, man. What a pro's pro. I'm proud of all the gauchos, but as gauchos go, that guy is the cream of the crop. If Michael Young's got your back, there may be hope. I love him listening, too. That's the best. Gauchos, Shane Bieber coming up top of the hour. Don't mess with his name either. He's heard every joke. They're not funny either. Kyle Brandt coming in next hour. Taking a short time out. Kind of a wacky day, right? Especially on the phones. Irate coming in here, homeless, trying to get me to read his book. And then a gaucho comes in talking about his freshman year, and everybody's killing him for it, except Michael Young. Great gaucho, Michael Young. What's up, Michael? Good looking out.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
The long, tough road to Super Bowl 53 on CBS continues with a great doubleheader. Kansas City going up against Pittsburgh. You've got the rematch of the AFC Championship game, New England and Jacksonville. The day kicks off at 12 Eastern with the NFL Today presented by Jeep. All right, so a lot going on to end hour number two. Most of it, one of my fellow gauchos getting hammered by you clones for coming on and telling a story that didn't mean anything to anybody but me. However, that said, then you've got former major leaguer Michael Young coming on, at least on Twitter, which was awesome. Always good to see that. You never know who's listening. So you've got a former major leaguer, one of the best, listening to the program, shouting out, saying good to hear a show. Remember, he had come on the program a number of times when he played, Michael Young and I. And listen, I'm going to find gauchos now. Shane Bieber is doing a great job with the Indians. I mean, even if he didn't go to UC Santa Barbara, that's the kind of young player I'm looking for on the show. But because Shane Bieber did go to UCSB, you know I'm going to put him on. Michael Young, one of the best athletes to ever come out of my college. You know I'm having him on the show. What's more exciting, Michael, taking on the Yankees at the stadium or going up against Pacific at Cesar Wasaka?
I don't know, man. It depends on what you look at it. As bad as Yankee Stadium fans are, I guarantee if you ask fans of Pacific or Cal State Fullerton, the fans in the trees at Cesar Wasaka are definitely worse than any bleacher creature at Yankee Stadium.
Good job, but I think you're right. I think that our fans are definitely drunker or higher or something than even fans at the stadium, though, right?
Oh, we got that. You don't find any guy in, like you say, any guy in Yankee Stadium selling tree in the stands or trying to get all baked. It's a totally different situation. But as far as the drinking goes, I might be on par with Yankee Stadium, though.
Michael, you know it. You know it. Gaucho, what's up? The Hammerheads bringing the heat. So he comes in, and used to love talking to him. I love that he's still listening and shouting out to the gauchos, but he's not the only one, all right? You never know who's going to be listening to the program. I just retweeted a tweet from Carl Anderson, professional wrestler. His tweet's incredible. He's got a picture of me up, and the tweet says, "Still love that I can get the jungle on my TV. Romy, still keeping that goat tight. Hashtag longtime clone." I love that. Carl, good looking out, brother. Nice job. Much appreciated. Like I said, you never know who's listening. And as I mentioned at the top of the program, I'm starting to get some tweets. Because we've been embedding videos and pushing them out on Twitter, a number of you are saying, damn, Ron, we didn't know you were on TV with the radio show. We have been on TV with the radio show on CBS Network, Sports Network, since the start of the year. Denlesk's tweets. Have Mike call back. We need a breakdown of the best professors at UCSB and a rating of each eatery in the food court. Just shut your mouth, Denlesk.
I'm going to give you a quick story, okay?
It was a quick story, all right? It was not that bad of a story. I've heard a lot of stories on this show, and a lot of them have been pretty horrible. That wasn't. At Johnny Scabs tweets, Jimmy, I'd rather crawl across flight deck's forehead for 3 days then have to listen to that gaucho story again. Yeah, if you could get across it in 3 days.
Here we are.
Michael Young. The actual tweet from Michael Young was, Cho, another Cho in the jungle, I see ya. Stucknut responds, Adam Hawk has no idea who you are. It's actually a hilarious story. Go ahead, Hawk, put him on. Put him on. Put them on, Hawk. When you alerted me, because as I'm hosting, I don't see everything, you alerted me to the Michael Young verified blue check tweet. And I said, Hawk, how the hell do you even know who this guy is? I know you don't know who this guy is. Why did you alert me to that tweet?
Because he had the blue check mark next to his name, and I always like
to let you know when verified accounts are tweeting
okay,
at you.
Okay, so you knew. That's good, Hawk. That was slick, the way you tried to handle that. You knew he was somebody because he had a verified blue check, but did you know why he had a verified blue check?
No, I did not. And when I clicked on his...
No way, really?
Yeah, I clicked on his Twitter profile page, and I saw the background header photo. It's a bunch of people at what looks like a karate dojo, so I just assumed that he might have been like some
kind of... The
Karate
Kid? You thought he was the Karate Kid?
Or some kind of famous instructor. Maybe he was involved with MMA, but I...
Michael Young, you'd never heard that name before.
No, but
you're the EP of a prominent sports talk show, and you'd never heard that name, Michael Young.
In my defense, that sounds like a pretty common name, so I thought he might be working
there
with...
There is no defending you, Hawk, but in your defense, you didn't know who Larry Holmes was either when he called, nor Digger Phelps when he called, nor Spud Webb when he tweeted.
Nor Nigel Morgan when he called.
Nor, you definitely didn't know Nigel Morgan. I mean, I guess in a way, kind of, sort of, I sort of understand that. No, I don't. Hawk, do you know anybody or anything at all?
Not really, but...
Okay, good. Thanks, Hawk. Thanks for playing along. Now you're done.
Now I'm done.
I thought, well, Hawk's really starting to study up. He knows Michael Young. Maybe he went to school on me, on where I went to school, and that's how he knows him. Good job, Hawk. You're coming along. It took 2 years, but finally now you can get me a tweet that I need to see. He had no idea who Michael Young was. Michael Young is like the most famous gaucho ever. Let's go to the phones. Oh, yeah, this is what I'm talking about. Love this guy. Yeah, I said it. We talked about him earlier. He called up during the smack off. And he called his old man, quote, a fat ass and a D-bag. Let's go to Rick in Buffalo. Rick, what's up?
I'm a little more pissed off than usual, Jim. Bills fans knew this year was going to be a rebuild, but we weren't expecting a complete friggin' disaster. Sean McDermott was brought in here to fix the defense. Instead, his unit just made the Ravens look like the greatest show on turf. Baltimore could have put up 70 if they wanted last Sunday. Makes me long for the glory days of Dick Geron. And is it too much to ask Professor McDermott to bring in an offensive coordinator who, I don't know, actually knows how to run an offense? I've seen more innovative play calling at fifth grade recess. And, of course, it's time to bring in Josh Allen. When the only other quarterback on the roster has a QBR of 0.0, is there any other choice? And if Allen gets killed, he gets killed. Hell, the way this team looks, I'm hoping someone kills me. And a quick update on Jeff in Southfield. Inside sources tell me his gender reassignment surgery is almost complete, which means instead of impersonating me or Mike and Indy, he'll probably come in here as Rosemary in Houston. So when he starts his next call by saying, "Rumi, you rock," I don't want anyone to be alarmed. Wore someone on the Bills actually having a pulse this Sunday. Wore KB destroying as many New York City public bathrooms as humanly possible. Thanks for the vine, Jim. I'm out.
All right, Rick, thank you very much. You are one of my favorites. Man, I love you. You're still good for the show. Gender reassignment is not cool. That's not cool. Do not make light of that. That's not funny. Look at me. That's not funny. That's not funny. Don't do that. That's not getting racked. He made it somehow to the end of the phone call, but that's not funny. That's not fair game. That's not cool. I'm not a party to it. Hey, Clones, I know you hate it when I do responsible things, but we're going to do responsible things here, all right? Don't do it. Don't go there. We're setting up hour number three. And in that third hour, we're going to go back to back. I've got Shane Bieber, Indians pitcher, UC Santa Barbara alum. That's at the top of the hour. Right after that, we chase that with Kyle Brandt. Kyle Brandt making a triumphant return to the jungle. He was the longtime EP of this program. He went to the NFL Network. He's the co-host of Good Morning Football. And he's debuted his own TV show. Kyle Brandt's coming up next hour. I've got the week that was, and I've got more time for your telephone calls, too. Do not go anywhere. It's going to be a strong third hour going into the weekend. You're in the jungle. I am Jim Rome. Having a good day. Nice to be here. Stay tuned. More on the other side of this.